Well, on Palm Sunday, we journeyed with Jesus into Jerusalem for his final week of life, but it was a busy week in Jerusalem. It was the festival of the Passover, and you know that the festival of Passover was one of three Jewish festivals that all Jewish males were supposed to attend. So Jerusalem was very busy, full of pilgrims gathered for the festival. And as we read through the passion narratives, those stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tell of the suffering and death of Jesus, it's fairly clear that all four evangelists, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, intend the Last Supper to be something like a Passover meal. And John even goes so far as to have Jesus and his disciples eat a meal the night before he died, but actually have Jesus crucified at the very time that the Passover lambs were being sacrificed. And this is highly significant, obviously, because you remember the roots of the Passover were the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. They were laboring hard under the burden of slavery, and God heard their cries, and God came and promised to deliver them. And you remember the encounter between Moses and Pharaoh, let my people go, and then the 10 plagues came, and finally, the final plague, the plague of the firstborn. And every Jewish family was instructed to gather a pure lamb, to kill the lamb, to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And so when the angel of death came through, the Egyptian neighborhoods, the angel of death would know to spare the homes upon which this blood had been smeared. So the blood of the lamb spared the Jewish people from death. And this was the Passover. Literally, the angel of death passed over those houses that were marked by the blood of the lamb. And so the connection between Jesus' death on the cross and the Passover is very intimate. But the Passover wasn't the last word, of course. The reason for the Passover was to get God's people out of slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land. If the Passover had happened, then the Jewish people would have been spared from death, but they would still be under the yoke of slavery. And so it wasn't only the Passover that needed to happen, but also the Exodus. But before the Exodus could happen, the Passover needed to happen. And so we come to the ministry of Jesus when he is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Luke tells us that when they're on the mountain, Moses and Elijah and Jesus are discussing Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But the word departure is literally the word Exodus. So Jesus perceived his own ministry as a ministry of Exodus. And the gospel writers understood that when Jesus was dying on the cross, this was the Passover, that the very Lamb of God was being sacrificed to spare God's people from their death. Jesus died so that we, his people, might have eternal life. But the cross is not the end of the story. What we gather to celebrate tonight is the Exodus, that Jesus, having given himself as a sacrifice for our sin, so that by his death we might have eternal life, Jesus rose, the Exodus, out of slavery into freedom. And so he comes bringing new life. This is the story of God's Passover and God's Exodus. It's interesting that St. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians in chapter 15, the great passage on the resurrection, he says that if Christ has not been raised, you're still in your sins. And so Jesus on the cross atoned for the sins, but it was in the resurrection that he liberated us from the power of sin. Just like in ancient Egypt, the blood of the Passover spared God's people from death. But it was the exodus through the Red Sea that brought them out of slavery into the promised land. And so we're just about to baptize five beautiful image bearers of the triune God. And St. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans in chapter 6, we'll hear this reading momentarily. When he writes to the Romans, he says that when someone is baptized, they are baptized into the death of Jesus. And when they're baptized into the death of Jesus, the power of sin that Jesus took on himself on the cross is defeated in that person's life, just like Jesus defeated the power of sin on the cross. But Paul goes on to say that when we emerge from the water of baptism, we emerge free, as free people in the promised land, to walk in, to use Paul's words, newness of life. And so in the cross and the resurrection, just like the Passover and the Exodus, we remember, on one hand, being spared from death. But on the other hand, we remember freedom and new life. And so as we're gathered here tonight, the Passover images of our service are clear, especially in the Exultet that Matt sang so well, in the prayers that we've prayed, that this is the night of the Passover, by which God's people have not only been spared from death, but given new, abundant, and eternal life. And so as we baptize these five image bearers, we will renew our own baptismal commitment for those of us who have already been baptized. And as we do, my hope and prayer is that each one of us would understand that when Jesus offered himself, that his shed blood atoned for our sin. And so no longer are we bound by the power of sin. And in fact, he spared us from death. But it's only because of the resurrection that we're empowered to live a new life, free from the power of sin, in newness of life, as Paul says. And so as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism with these dear people and renew our own baptismal vows, understand that Christ's death and resurrection, Passover and Exodus, freedom from sin, we've been spared from death, and now we live in new life. That is why we're here tonight, to celebrate Jesus Christ and his victory over the power of sin and death, that we might share in his very life. Amen.